I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to 100% Hits Volume Pod, the podcast that looks at the greatest compilation series Australia's ever produced, the 100% Hits Volume Compilation Series. My name is Josh Earle, and this week, a very special guest.
Thank you.
Please welcome to your ears. It's Nath Valva, everyone. Yay.
Sorry, I always talk before the end intro. But you said something nice. Hello, Josh, and hello to your listeners. I know we spoke about this at a gig when I saw you a few weeks ago, but straight up, I have to tell your lovely listeners that I am indeed a hit machine boy. I'm sure I had one or two 100% hits, but... hit machine all the way at the Valvo residence.
It's so funny how families were divided by this. Mm-hmm. Were you hit machine? Were you 100% hits? We're 100% hits outs. And this, what we're talking about today, volume 6, side A, this is the first one that made its way into the Earle household.
Oh, look out. It's almost like I wonder if people listening think that the hit machine 100% hits so fresh battle is the Neighbours Home and Away household battle. No household did both.
Well, that's not true. In Tasmania, you could do both because we had Home and Away and Neighbours on the same channel. Each other.
Okay, that's how you do it.
We live the dream down there.
That's how you do it. I in Hit Machines, people that have seen my show, which I'm sure is a lot of your listeners.
Yeah, we have a big crossover.
I actually take Hit Machines so seriously that for a number of years, my house music that you heard when you walked into my show every year was a different Hit Machine.
Oh, that's good. See, no. I normally choose my house music on those days where I don't want to work on the show. I go, this is work for the show. Choosing songs that people will walk into and talk over the top of. That's work.
Oh, mate, every time I start my show, when I do that tech with that, when you have to sit down with your tech and talk about the show, I'm like, two words: bells and whistles. A Nath Valvo show is bells and whistles. I want a moving light. I'm bringing in a disco ball. They're walking into a club.
I stayed in a hotel in Sydney last weekend, and in the elevator going up to my room, there was a disco ball. I'm like, I know Sydney's a party town. It's too much.
I think I know that hotel. I think I know it. I think I've been in it.
In Surrey Hills.
Yeah,
I'm not staying there now. Hotel 57 is what it's called.
Yeah, I think I've been there. I think you got up to different things in that hotel, I'm guessing, as well.
Well, it was the only hotel I've ever been in where it was a single bed only.
Oh, yeah. Can I say, did you have a very comfortable sleep? Because
it was great.
Yeah, I had a single bed once on a roadshow with Comedy Festival, one of those motels. Yeah. It was a really nice sleep.
Yeah, you feel contained. It's like a little hug. Maybe that's the problem.
Mine was a little car, and it was it was great. I just loved it. Sitting in a car. But anyway, so I'll pretend that I'm interested in 100% hits.
All right. Well, I know you're interested in pop music, though. You like pop music. You've got listeners of my previous podcast, Don't You Know Who I Am, would know that you have a tattoo of Kylie Minogue's signature on your person.
Mm-hmm. On my arm.
Now, this is the thing. The last song on these compilations is Kylie Minogue's Better the Devil You Know.
Okay.
The dream for this podcast, and I'm going to say it, and listeners, you'll hear this a lot over the next 60 weeks, is to have Kylie come on the last show. Now, you've had her on a radio show that you did.
I did. I got 45 minutes with her in a hotel room face-to-face, Josh Earle.
Do you think she will come and do this podcast, a live one? Say I do it at a nice venue like the Toff in Town.
No, but can I tell you, Danny has a great knowledge of pop music, is fantastic in interviews, and I've heard her do a podcast called This Is Disco, I think, which is just a couple of raging gays talking about Kylie and Danny albums, and she went on it.
All right, so she won't be offended if I ask her to come on and talk about her sister's body of work?
Oh, sorry, I didn't understand that bit. Okay, that's weird. That's real weird.
Yeah, that's why I'm shooting for Kylie. Look, sure. Danny, the floor is open. You can come. The door is open on me. You can come on.
We did manipulate her. It was in 2010 when she was releasing Aphrodite, the album. Let's go way back. And she was doing Hamish and Andy when they had their radio show.
Yep.
And Fitz in Whipper, who were also a drive show.
Yeah.
And they said no to everyone else. And we had the breakfast show on Joy FM in Melbourne, community gay station. Yep. You know, I did 2 days a week, whatever. None of us got paid. And so we milked the, you know, this is gay community. Look what we've done for you. And then I did promise on air if she said yes, I would get the tattoo. So it kind of unraveled.
Yeah.
And it all happened. So unless I would say maybe a tattoo promise from Josh.
All right. I'll get something Kylie tattooed on me.
Yeah.
All right. That's volume 33,
okay.
Side B. This is volume 6, side A. Now,
sure,
we're going into 1993.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting off with a little band called the Utah Saints. And this is their track, Something New.
Can I say straight up?
Go for it.
That is my favorite of the 9 songs we will listen to today. That is an absolute effing banger.
And what a way to start a compilation as well. That is like, normally they start off horny. This one is starting off with just, no, this is, and I think any DJ should mix a song that has their own applause in the song.
I actually thought just listening then, why have songs stopped putting crowds cheering in them?
Yeah.
That was a real thing in the 90s. So many songs back then have a crowd cheering.
Yeah. Well, Utah Saints DJs Jez Willis and Tim Garbutt, they started off doing club nights. That's how they started. They were DJs in club nights. So they knew what people were going to dance to, so which is a great kind of like experience to be able to go, all right, we know what they're going to do. And so they began as MDMA. That was their first name. It was called Mega Dance Metal Allegiance.
Great name.
Yeah, and then they kind of form. So do you know the sample they're using there, the singer?
She sounds very familiar, but you know she also sounds like, she sounds like Robin.
Oh, well, I'm sure Robin will take that as a massive compliment because is Kate Bush.
Right. So, but they've played her up, right? They've tweaked the pitch super high, right?
Yes, they have. Yeah, so that's from her song Cloud Busting.
Yes.
And there was a rumor that she sued them for using it, and that's not true. She loved it.
Yeah.
And they went through all the right channels, and she normally says no to everything. People want to sample her, they say no. And she loved what they did with the song and loved how they manipulated her voice in it, and so she was like, yeah, go for it. And she even gave them footage of her film clip to use in their film clip as well.
It's just an absolute banger of a song. So you couldn't get... look, my music taste growing up was very, very hidden and secret because it was always very poppy and it was embarrassing. But later on, I think like all of a sudden it became okay to like bad pop about a decade ago.
Yep.
And so, but with my love of bad pop morphed as I grew up. Your music taste gets better. Definitely morphed into like proper electro, kind of like house vocal stuff. And the I didn't know these people.
Ah.
And then I dived in and was like, ah, they were like
pioneers.
Pioneers is a good word. They were like, they knew what was going on.
They absolutely did. This was also used in for the BBC when they did the 1992 Barcelona Olympic Games.
Okay. Sick.
So the dream team.
The absolute dream team.
Sit in to watch the dream team and listen to Utah Saints.
Yeah.
So straight off the bat, that is a banger. Utah Saints, something good.
It's great. All downhill from here, so.
I disagree. Now, here we have a little man known as Jimmy Nail, ex Sexiest Man in Britain award winner.
Oh, look at
his song, Ain't No Doubt. While we're playing it, just look up Jimmy Nail for me, Nath Valvo, and see if you agree.
I'll tap that.
A sexy, sexy man.
Will I tap Jimmy Nail? No is the answer. I mean, sure.
She says, it's not you, it's me.
Oh, God, I love it. Time. Talking to
space. Place to find myself again, you know.
Oh, yeah, man, I get it.
I know goodbye when I hear it.
Do
you? She smiles, but her heart's already out there. Walking down the street. She
tell
says,
me more, Jimmy.
I
don't want
nobody else. Still be amazing, Jane.
Oh, this is a good bit. There won't
be somebody else,
and that's true. She's lying.
She's lying, Josh.
What does she pretend? Ain't no doubt it's
plain to see. All right, this song got a lot better as it went.
Did, didn't it? You're in another door.
I'm a dumb fool for Eskimo.
All right, that's where we'll stop it there. It goes back into another talking verse. Tells a story of Jimmy. He loves her, but she's no good for him. She keeps lying. She's got another lover.
Do you remember how many songs in the 90s were a man and woman talking to each other through verse?
Oh, Paula Abdul, DJ Scat Cat.
Yeah, Opposites Attract.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew you'd know that one.
Yeah. That used to happen quite a lot. Like, you know,
they'd
have a chat or have a fight.
It's the Grease kind of influence. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John.
I'm sorry, I'm still just a bit gobsmacked. He won some sort of sexy...
Sexiest Man of the Year.
He looks like...
Jimmy Nail.
If someone Google images, he looks like Sean McCaleb's boxer character. What's his name?
Milo?
Yeah, he looks like Milo Kerrigan. He looks like Milo Kerrigan. Sorry. I'm sure he's a nice man. I shouldn't judge someone on their looks.
I'll tell you a bit about it. He's an actor as well. So in the early 80s, he was in a show called Off-Widdershin Pet. And he also played the title role in Spender. I don't know either of those shows, just so you know, Nath. He went to jail in his early 20s. He was dealing with some trauma. His sister died at the age of 20. And so he got in a fight after a football match and was sent to prison. After he got out of prison, he went and worked in a glass factory. And this is where the name Jimmy Nail comes in, because his real name's James Michael Aloysius Bradford. But he was opening up a crate of glass and stood on a 6-inch spike and it went through his foot.
I think that's a scene in Home Alone.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's one of the wet bandits.
Jimmy Nail, the original wet bandit.
Yeah. He got out of jail and informed the wet bandits. He adopted... Everyone called him Nail. So when he was starting singing, he was Jimmy Nail. He's also...
Sure.
And you may have watched him in this film. He's in Evita, the Madonna Antonio Banderas. Is that his name? Yeah
it is. I can say this as a huge Madonna fan. That movie is a stinker.
Yeah. Well, he plays... I think he sings... Is there a song called One in a Million or something like that? Like, he sings that song. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think? I remember this being a huge song in my youth.
Right. I have no memory of it. It's very catchy. It's very catchy. And who's the girl?
Sylvia Mason-James. She's doing a lot of the heavy lifting there.
Oh, yeah. He was just telling her to shut up in the shoot. What is it? You're lying.
You're lying. Well, my memory of this song as well is that... comedian Oliver Clark, mm-hmm. for those who aren't in Melbourne might not know him, but he's very, very funny. He plays kind of like a crooner. He wears a pale blue suit. He used to, now he wears a black suit. But he will do this. He'll just do the talking bit and go, "Why does she pretend?" And then he goes, "And the band kicks in. Oh, wouldn't that be good?" And then he just goes on. And I think, I love it because I know what he's referencing. I would say 5% of the audience know the song he's referencing. They just think he's doing some weird bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, he should get someone. I'll jump on stage so I can do the "you're lying" bit.
Yeah.
Maybe sit, "you're lying."
All right, moving on.
Comes across a bit aggressive, by the way. I don't think it'd really fly these days, having a female vocalist with the man cutting in going, "You're lying."
"You're lying. You liar." All right, this song, Tennessee, by the hip-hop group Arrested Development.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing grass. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Take me to another.
Absolute banger. I love this song.
Well, I can't lie. I only know their other one.
People Every Day.
Yeah, that one. The Everyday. That's the only one of them I know. Sorry, everyone. Yep.
That's all right. This was their first single. This one came out before. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so this group started. So it's Speech and Headliner. They're the two main people. There's been so many different members. They're still going as a hip-hop group, by the way. Kind of started to be kind of a counterpoint to all the gangster rap that was very popular. They're like, hey, we want to be a positive band. We want to show that hip-hop can be actually positive and not just so gangster kind of influenced. And so that's what these guys started. This song samples Prince's Alphabet Street.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Utah Saints, they did not clear it. So Paisley Park, where Prince's business was like, "Nah, you can't do that." So sued them, and Prince won for $100,000, Nath.
I mean, that's, as your dad would say, that was like $1 million back then.
Well, Speech has later come out and said that Prince actually did them a solid because they could have sued for royalties in the future.
Mm.
And he said, no, I don't want that. I just want... I'll take $100,000 and they can keep the profits in the future. And so they've actually made the money back.
I just love the absolute balls of... There's so many stories about sampling gone wrong, but I just love that someone was just like, fuck it, just fucking press record.
Well, it was the early days as well.
They put it in our song.
But if you... Back in like 92, when you were writing this song, going, well, do we ask Prince if we can use it? I'm like, how are we going to contact him?
Yeah, it's true.
No email. Well,
you can't now.
Yeah, exactly. You can't now unless you get a Ouija board out. But like, but then you go, all right, we'll just see how it works. And then maybe, and there must be going, part of you going, I hope this is popular, but also at the same time, I hope Prince doesn't hear this.
And wasn't Prince a very business-minded professional musician, very into like ownership and publishing, and didn't he have heaps of like battles with record companies and all of that stuff? So he's not the guy to fuck with.
That was the whole reason why he changed his name to Symbol and the artist previously known as Prince, to get out of contracts, because he's like, all right, you own the name Prince, but I can record under other stuff and release it. He also apparently has still like hundreds and hundreds of hours of unreleased stuff that he was like, no, that's just for me.
And in that collection, of course I know this, is a song written with Kylie Minogue. Kylie and Prince did in fact meet And he was like, let's make a song. And she went to his studio. I don't know if that's code word for making music, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And they made a song and it's never seen the light of day and she's never heard it and she doesn't know where it is.
Well, Elle Macpherson said that Prince was the greatest lover she's ever had.
Oh.
Yeah.
There
we
go.
He was only like 5'2", 5'3".
That's fine. Hey, that's fine. Yeah.
Short king. Nothing wrong with being short.
I was going to say, Josh, you're saying something here?
Yeah, I'm just getting that out there. I'm just putting it
really
out there.
Are really talking about Prince?
also, Arrested Development sued. So they got sued by Prince. They sued Fox and the show Arrested Development for using their name.
So is it linked? Was the show... No. It's a saying. It's a saying,
but they reckoned they trademarked infringement, and so they sued for only $10,000.
Did they win?
Yeah. I think that they just said, Fox just went, here you go. Take the money, let us have the name.
Weird.
And they reference it in the show as well. There's a headline that comes up in one of the papers, and then one of the sub-headlines is TV show sued by band from the 90s kind of thing. They kind of, have a dig. Hey, this is my story about Arrested Development, though, like the band. Hmm. I met them when in 93 when the Earls went on a little holiday to Surfers Paradise and we flew from Launceston Airport to Sydney first. And in the Sydney Airport, Arrested Development were at one of those newsagents there. Oh. And they were looking at all the Australian chocolate bars and I knew who they were. Because I'd seen them on Rage. And I said, hey, you should get one of these ones. They're really good. And I pointed to a Mars. And they said, yeah, we have those in America. And that's fucked it, Josh. That's my interaction.
You fucked it. Why would you go with the Mars, man? This is Australia. Give him a
Polly Waffle.
Give him a caramel koala or something.
I should have went caramel koala.
Yeah, come on, man.
13-year-old me absolutely fucked that for myself.
That's a good sighting. I mean, out of all the places in the world to see an iconic hip hop band, I just didn't think an airport news agent.
Because I don't know the guy's name, but they had a really old guy in the band who was like their spiritual advisor. I haven't done the research on what his name is, but that's how we knew it was the band because it was like seven of them and then this really old guy. I'm like, yeah, that's Arrested Development, who I probably called Mr. Wendell. All right. Moving on.
Can I tell you my favorite celeb spotting of all time?
Oh, yeah, please do.
I once saw Danny DeVito walking down the street in London. To this day, nothing's topped it. Top that, Danny DeVito.
My friend Kieran reckons he saw Nick Cave treading dog shit in St Kilda.
I mean, that's okay.
That's very good as well. But I'm not sure how much I believe it.
Yeah, try and beat Danny DeVito.
All right. Speaking of dog shit... This next band is called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And this is their song, Breaking the Girl.
We
didn't
listen to a heap of it.
We don't have to. Turn it off.
I mean,
great. Let me turn it off there. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I mean, my sister and my brother were huge. They were the cool siblings. So they had all the rock and all those cool bands. They loved the Chili Peppers. So I annoyingly know most of their songs.
I'm the same. My brother wasn't into them, but every single person in my town growing up was absolutely into the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I have to admit, this song is it's a good song, but I just cannot. I'm sorry, Chili Peppers.
Chili Peppers fans. I'm not gonna diss coming from the Kylie fans sitting here. So I know what you've been through.
Yeah.
But, is he a bad singer?
Is he
technically a bad singer?
All their songs come to life in the verses.
Right.
And then when it gets to the chorus, he's like, roller coaster, toaster.
Yes.
Just rhyming. It's just like he's just gone into a rhyming dictionary and gone, all right, we'll rhyme it instead of most people do like either ABAB rhyming or AABB rhyming, he will just go, all right, we'll just go AAAAAAAAAA rhyming. I'll just rhyme 20 things that rhyme with like tractor and then we'll go back to the verse.
And do you remember the he's book, Scar Tissue?
Do I ever?
Was in every single household that had someone under 30 in it for, it was the original Barefoot Investor.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went, someone got it for Christmas, got it for their birthday. Aunties love giving their nephews the Scar Tissue book.
Nathan, can I tell you the two genders? The two genders are Scar Tissue and Amy Poehler's book.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's, you mean Tina Fey's book, isn't it?
Oh, Tina Fey's is Bossy
Pants. Oh, so that's Bossy Pants. Yeah, you're right.
Well, either of those, yeah. They're the two genders.
Yeah, I think if Australia did that thing where they recalled all the guns, I think if Australia did a Scar Tissue book recall, we would see, like, mountains of that book.
I haven't been into a secondhand bookshop for a long time, but I guarantee there's Scar Tissue copies in there.
I think I read it. I think it was one of my first books, big books that I read young, and I think I was reading it because I think there was tinges of like sexuality in it that was quite mysterious, and I think I used to get stiffies reading it thinking that he was like secretly gay or something. Wasn't there something in the book about
experimenting
or something?
Yeah, I think there was. Yeah. I think, look, I've got material about this book, so I feel bad going into it, but it is that thing of like it's a bad book.
Okay.
It's bad. So this was the fourth single from Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which they spell magic with a K. Yuck. And do you know the one thing about this song? I don't look of their songs. I think this is one of their better ones. Absolutely. But they've only played this song like 13 times live.
Mm.
So they played it first in 91 and then it didn't appear in their set list until 2000 where they played it a couple of times and then not again until 2003.
They hate it.
I was in the Reddit forums asking why. I wasn't asking, I was just reading why. And people are saying because it's the guitars are detuned a bit. So they'd have to. And I'm like, I reckon the Red Hot Chili Peppers are big enough that they can have a roadie bring them on a new guitar and say, hey, here's a. Or I would say John Frusciante and Flea are good enough to detune their guitars themselves.
And, you know, sometimes musicians get real love hate with their hits.
Yeah.
And they don't like doing them. And then they get annoyed when they get asked to do them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. All right. Moving on. Now, this song, probably of all the songs on the album, probably the most famous, has the most longevity, which is so weird seeing it somewhat novelty. Please welcome into your ears Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back.
Oh my God. Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends that, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so black.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuck deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got makes
me so horny.
Ooh, rumpa smooth.
And that's where we'll stop it.
I mean, can I say, I think on its merits, it's actually a good song, but what's ruined it is every movie, every ad, every montage, every... Yep. It's been ruined.
It's so funny that this is now in children's movies.
Is it in Shrek or something?
It's in Shark Tale. It's in, like, they just use it all the time.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, it's...
Who's making that cash? Someone's very rich.
Well, that's why he's a Sir Mix-a-Lot. Now, this is my story. So this was the song that made me want to get this compilation tape as a kid. I was like, my friend Kina Mole had the tape and I was like, I need to get this as well because I thought this song was the shit. I loved it a lot in 92, 93. So it's from his album Mac Daddy. It's, look, some of it has aged pretty poorly.
sure. It's just, for 93, it's a banger.
Yeah, but some of it has aged. Like, the messaging is like, he's saying he doesn't care what magazines and what beauty standards say. He likes a big old butt.
Yes.
That's
what we love to see.
He doesn't want his yum-yucked. And do you know who was the inspiration behind this song?
Well, this is going to get me in trouble, so I'm not going to answer that.
Well, I'll tell you then. He said this song was written after seeing Jennifer Lopez on In Living Color, the TV show In Living Color, movies Fly Girl.
Okay.
And so he was like, ooh, I like her butt. And then he wrote, I like big butts.
What an honor.
Yeah. Now, J-Lo. Do you think without this song, do you know how, you know, butts are now the trendy thing?
Mm.
Every woman in the gym seems to be going, all right, I've got to do leg day, glutes. That's what they're working on. Mm-hmm. And I know that is a big generalization. Please don't come at me if you go to the gym and go, no, I want to do my shoulders. Do you think this song put butts in popular culture?
Like, no.
Moved it up?
The Kardashians did.
Would there be the Kardashians without this song, though?
This is a chicken of the egg conversation that I've had many a times about this particular song, Josh. This is that's the question. Tearing families apart at Christmas when this topic comes up.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This song, it's dumb, it's funny, it's aged somewhat well and somewhat poorly.
Mm.
All right, moving on. Here's a guy who's been on the show twice before. This is probably another one of his big old long songs that could be shorter. This is Richard Marx and his song, Take This Heart.
I mean,
it's Richard, quite a transition from Sir Mix-a-Lot to Richard Marx.
Richard Marx songs just make you feel like you're in an 80s montage.
Yep.
Putting sunglasses on. Convertible.
Even though it's from the 90s, it's so 80s sounding. Yeah.
This is the end credit music to any movie made before 95. You fear every step you take, so sure that your heart will break. It's not how the story ends. You'll be back on your feet again.
Here we go, coming to a big chorus.
What a voice.
Good.
Yeah. I have a controversial opinion.
Go for it.
He's America's answer to John Farnham.
I agree. Yep. Yeah. Every country has one.
Mm.
He
even sounds a bit like him.
Yeah. Because I also think every country has like a Bob Dylan. Like we've got Paul Kelly.
Mm.
The English have Billy Bragg. Like houses. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. But this, I have to make a correction from a previous episode. I said that his film clip for Hazard was him in a baseball diamond. No, it's this one. This was him playing for the Chicago Cubs, hitting the winning home run in a World Series against the Oakland A's.
I'm glad you cleared it up.
Well, I know. Listen, there are a lot of people who every time I make a little mistake on this show get into my DMs, and I'm very thankful for it. I like to be held accountable, but yeah, I just thought I better come before the Richard Marx heads come for me, the Marxman. So Richard Marx, he, like you've said, great voice, great singer, was huge in the early 90s. And this is a story I found about him. So he once almost got killed by the Chinese mafia in Taipei. They were producing his show. He was doing this big outdoor show in Taipei. And it started thundering and lightning, and so they called off the show. There was two shows back night back to back, as in night one, night two. And the first one was too. So his manager said, it's unsafe. We'll just call it off. And so he went, all right, I'll go back to the hotel. He was in the hotel when he saw six huge men with guns come storming into the hotel. He kind of hid. They went up to the desk and asked, what room is Richard Marx's room? And so he and his manager hid and then called up the, tried to call up the American consulate, but in 92 or 93, they didn't have an American consulate in Taipei. And so they just had to call back home to America and going, what do we do? What do we do? Anyway, the Chinese mafia, the head guy, found them. They'd already kidnapped one of their members of the band and said, if you don't perform, you've lost me so much money, I'm going to kill this guy. And so they were like, oh, well, we can't perform. It's dangerous. And the Chinese mafia goes, well, this is more dangerous, don't you think? You've lost us so much money. And so they agreed the next day they were going to do a matinee show and then an evening show. And that's how he survived not getting his head shot from the Chinese mafia.
My God.
Can you imagine making music like that?
Can you I mean,
you make music like this and then you've got the mafia trying to kill you.
I mean, there's, I feel like maybe you can tell me, what's his big hit? It's not coming to me.
It's Hazard.
Which is, how does that go?
Listen to the episode.
Okay, I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. Volume
as soon as I heard that, when we were listening to that song in my head, I was like, oh yeah, I know this voice from another song, but I couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah. Oh, you might know the never released Howard Stern Fart Man movie soundtrack, because he did the cover song for Fart Man.
Unaware.
Yeah. All right. Now, the last two, from Baby I Got Back to Take This Heart, bit of a transition. Oh, that's a bit weird. This one, I think, is a lot better. This is when Dad's in the car listening to Richard Marx, and then we've got from Life Is a Highway fame, Tom Cochran, and this is his follow-up single, No Regrets.
Oh, he's already back on the highway, you can tell.
Walking by the roadside, I see my favorite pony. I'm checking out the back here, where my race is not run.
Tom Cochran, No Regrets. You're wincing, Nath.
Oh, it's fine. Has someone done a music PhD on white rocker men's obsession with highways in song and dirt and highways and driving?
Do you know what I think it is?
What is it?
They're touring musicians. Write what you know. They're looking at the road. They're heads out the window going, all right, we've got more and more and more of this highway. Don't you?
Yeah, sure.
When you used to do Comedy Festival Roadshow, you're driving around, you get up on stage, you did 5 minutes on bitumen.
It's a good point. It's some career highlights from that red hot local gear in a rural WA town. But maybe I was thinking maybe it's more about the it's just the freedom, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Come on, man.
Get away.
Open road. I'm not at home with the kids. I'm driving on a freeway. And let's face it, a dad's happy place is driving alone away from everyone.
Luke Heggie has the material about seeing a dad in a car before he had kids. He was like, oh, who's that psychopath? What a pervert. And now he gets it.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. They're tapping into that, just that the dad fantasy of being alone.
Yep.
All right. Now,
I honestly believe that Tom Cochran walked so Hootie and the Blowfish could run. This is real... Remember, There was a whole spate of bands like that. It was like Hitting the Blowfish, Counting Crows, all those kind of bands that kind of big around just after this. So we had grunge, and then it was like, oh, if grunge is too rough for you, here's some guys who are just singing absolute middle of the road. Well, that's the thing. Freeways, highways, middle of the road. It's great. Mm. But I don't mind this. I know it has its place. All right.
Which is not on my Spotify. I'll be honest with you.
I'll be honest. This show has absolutely ruined my Spotify algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
The things I'm getting like requested in terms of like what I should listen to next is crazy. I'll tell you here. I'm playing it from here. Recommended based on what's in this playlist. CNC Music Factory, things that make you go, hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I Wish It Was Your Lover by Sophie B. Hawkins.
I mean, that's a great song.
That's a great song, I won't say that because we're going to play that band song.
Is Sophie B. Hawkins also the singer of As I Lay? As I lay me, would I die for what I meant?
I don't know.
I think it is, and that's a fucking banger. That's for another day. You can cut that bit out. Sorry.
Hopefully it's on a future episode.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we talked about this band last episode. They're back with their song, Neighbor. This is Ugly Kid Joe. All right, Dad's skipping this one. Dad, as soon as he's heard the last two, he's like, fuck it.
You kids call this music?
Yeah. So this was 93. How old were you in 93?
10.
You would have loved this song at 10 years old.
Do you reckon? This has got real Trump rally vibes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like this is playing before he comes out.
So this was Ugly Kid Joe. Whit Crane, the lead singer, he didn't write this song. The guitarist wrote it. And it wasn't until like 90, like they'd already released it. And then the guitarist said, oh, that's actually written about you, you know.
Oh,
you're the neighbor who I'm writing about. Like you've got a nice house, you've moved into a street, and you're ruining it for everyone else. Yeah, they split up not long after that.
I think there's you could listen. You could really deep dive into those lyrics with a tinge of maybe racism going on, some anti don't come into my neighborhood vibes going on here. Maybe not.
I think what they say is about a redneck family moving into a privileged neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine then.
So they're on the side of the you know, the underdog.
All right. Well, I'm into that. I'm into an underdog.
Did you know your neighbors growing up?
Oh, mate, our street was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, just fucking children everywhere, bikes everywhere, parents everywhere.
You're in the burbs?
Just a classic Greensboro in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Just real. One of those like left the house at 8 a.m., wouldn't come home till, a lot later. Parents didn't give a fuck.
We were the absolute same. It was like we would just go into like kids' houses on the street. I remember our neighbors across the road, the Flights. They're not there anymore. They moved. Mm. But just going into the house all the time. Is Danny home? Yeah. Come in. Just going. And now I've got kids. We've got to organize play dates. It's like, we never had to organize any play dates when I was a kid. It's like, you just knock on the door and they're not expecting you and they let you in the house.
We sound like we're 100 years old at the moment, Josh, but I will say my parents are still there in that tiny little Greensboro house.
Yeah.
And when I do go out to the burbs to see them or even friends that have moved out to the burbs with kids, you still don't see kids anymore. And I sound like a creepy person here, but when you drive out to the burbs, there isn't kids running around on the street and doing all that stuff. Because remember, you'd be on the street playing and then someone was on car watch and they'd yell out, there's a car coming, you had to run back off. Like, where are the kids?
Inside. My dad always says, you can tell, like, Christmases these days, you don't see any kids getting a brand new bike. They're all inside on their computer games.
Oh, thank fuck. I'm sorry, yeah. But if you get a bike for Christmas, go and fuck yourself, mum and dad. A bike.
No, a bike's a good gift. Give a kid a bike. They'll
no,
like
give me a Switch but game any day.
I'm now growing into, like, we know our neighbours very well, and their daughter and my son are very good friends, and she's always over our house. It's almost like I'm living in an American sitcom. She just walks in, goes straight to the cupboard, yeah. Opens the pantry. What do you got to eat? No, hello, Josh. Like,
yeah, I'm into that. Like, yeah. I'm into that.
I don't mind it either. I do find it funny. Yeah.
I mean, we've just moved to a very boomer, old boomer retired suburb. We're still renting, of course. And so we're like the youngest people by many decades in our street. And the other day the dog got weird and I was like, what's her problem? And then I looked out the front and there was a man in our front yard just pruning our bush.
Oh.
We didn't ask. I mean, we're thrilled that he did. I'm not touching it. We didn't even own the tools. But he just walked past, realized that it needed to be done, and just did it.
Is that passive aggressive, though? Is that like, hey,
these two aren't
like, going to do it?
The two homos will fucking move in. With the street got excited thinking, you know, here we go, some nice garden. No. World's worst gay people. I texted Cody. I was like, there's a man pruning our bush. And he was like, oh, that might be a man that I spoke to the other day. He just randomly asked me these questions about us and renting and that we're at number 9 and da-da-da-da-da. And so I think he just took it upon himself.
When my wife lived in Fitzroy, in her front yard, they had a really nice, it was like a lemon tree. And one day they came home from work, her and her sister lived together, and there was this old woman with a bag and an umbrella just pulling down all the branches and getting all the lemons. And they're like, are you right? That's out. And she goes, you're not going to do anything with it. What are you going to do with it?
That woman sounds Italian.
I didn't want to say.
Italian? I've Instagrammed this before. I can say this, by the way, I'm Italian. Italian women have a thing with bags of lemons. And I don't know when it started. I don't know who's ever asked for it. But when my nonna was alive, God bless, or when my auntie will come over, there will be a bag of lemons left on your table. And I've never understood. They're not that in demand.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, what happened in
I don't know.
Italy's history. There's something about lemons. Scurvy outbreak.
It was a mafia link, and the mafia controlled the lemons in Sicily. Josh, read a book.
I have. It's called Scar Tissue.
Yeah. We had a lemon tree in our little backyard there in Greensboro, so my mum would often yell out that old wives' tale, which has been never proven to piss on the lemon tree.
Oh, yeah.
So if my friends would go to the dunny or even ask, mum would yell out, you're on the tree. Anyway.
All right, we're up to our final song, Nath.
Great.
It's gone so quick. All right, this is Australian band. Is this the only Australian band on the list so far? I think so. Yeah, it is.
Well, let me just say this as our final song, something that Hit Machines did very well. Many, many Australian artists on many Hit Machines.
Hey, we've had Diesel like 8 times already. Like, okay. It's good that he's not on this one. Have nothing else to say about him. All right, so this is, they've been on twice before. Mm-hmm. Fascinating story, Nath, which I'll tell you off air. Mm-hmm. But this is 2 number ones in a row. This is their third single. This is Do For You by a little band called Euphoria.
This is great. Sounds like a video game.
It's an 8-bit kind of...
This is the video game when you go into the secret thing. You've only got 30 seconds to get as many of the things. Parody level bad. Oh, hello.
Do for you, girl, just what you do for me.
And we'll stop it there. Now, the band, Nate, you wouldn't know this, unless you're a big Euphoria fan.
I'm not. That sounded like a Subway ad, by the way.
Well, their last one I said sounded like a Channel 9, Welcome to the Station, We've Got All the Hits You Want to Hear song. Yeah. This one, all right, there's three members of the band. The guy sings this one. On the other two songs, the women sing, Karen and Holly. Karen, amazing voice. This guy, no one wants to hear from you, mate.
No.
I don't care if you wrote the song. Okay, give Karen the vocals.
It's not good.
She's got two number one hits under a name there. Mm-hmm. And then you also in the film clip, you didn't see the film clip. What do you reckon he's wearing?
Give me another 3 seconds of that song.
It's 93. Here we go.
I would say a very bright shirt undone on skin or a white t-shirt underneath it.
Okay. Well, you're close. He's wearing no shirt.
Uh-huh.
But a snakeskin vest.
No, that's
undone.
Something happened with bare skin on. Yeah, I'm like, look, well, I'm not anti that. Good on him.
Look, he had a good body as well. I understand why the record label would go, all right, let's put
fuck
him in the
90s
front.
Lover vest.
Oh, so many vests.
And awful vests, like Looney Tunes character vests. Like, what the fuck happened with silk satin vests in the 90s? What happened, everyone? Should we talk about it? I remember there's a photo of Cody, my partner Cody, with a shiny vest with jelly beans on it.
Yeah. I used to work at a supermarket where it was like the equivalent of Rolfoss, equivalent of Woolworths in Tassie. It was called Rolfoss.
Mm-hmm.
And the uniform was like black pants, white shirt, but you could do wear whatever tie you wanted. And then they introduced black ties at the end of when I finished. But I had a crossword tie. I had a Marvin the Martian tie.
Of course you did.
I had one that just had American money on it. I had, it was just.
The Marvin the Martian merch never like equaled his popularity. No one liked Marvin the Martian, but for a few years in the 90s, wherever you looked, underwear, the What's New store fucking loved Marvin the Martian. It was like lamps and like silk underwear and ties. What was going on with him? He had a very good publicist.
I'm going to talk about Looney Tunes boxer shorts in the next episode. There's a story coming up in one of the songs where, but it was a huge, and it also started, once again, hip-hop culture.
Mm.
All these like gangster rappers wearing fucking Tweety Bird tops. I don't understand it.
I mean, I went to Movie World a few weeks ago with some comedians and we were doing the Brisbane Comedy Festival, one of the best days of my life. But when you go to Movie World as an adult, you really realize how much the characters have not stayed around, and it was almost depressing. Like, no one gives a fuck about Tweety Bird anymore. Like, no. their time is done.
Now, you wouldn't have watched the new Space Jam film, A New Legacy.
I did not watch that. No, because I don't have kids, and I'm not into American basketball like you guys are. So
could be the worst film I've ever seen.
Okay,
and it was that thing. My kids had seen the original Space Jam film. They didn't mind it, but they were like, "Hey, well, I want to go see this one." They don't know who any of the Looney Tunes characters are.
Mm.
Like they knew. Like there was a scene where like the granny who owns Tweety Bird and Sylvester.
I remember
was doing a parody of The Matrix. My kids
what?
Had no fucking idea.
Yeah, it's the only ones the movies could afford. It was Marvin the Martian in it?
Yeah, of course.
What was his saying? What was his thing about leaving? It was off I go or something about leaving or something. So we can't even remember that.
I don't know.
I want to know who is, you've got kids, who's the weird character that you think very young boys are probably masturbating over? Because my generation had Jessica Rabbit,
and then who's there was, the one from Space Jam, the original one.
Who's the new Jessica Rabbit for the new gen?
I don't know.
Like the one where I don't think animators do it anymore. I don't think they make inappropriate, flat out porn for kids anymore with animation, right?
Bluey's mum. I don't know. Like,
okay. Maybe there just isn't one.
I don't think, I think that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, doesn't happen anymore. Like the animators don't sit there at Pixar going, we want to give 11-year-old stiffies.
Yeah.
Yeah, those times of, and I miss those days.
Bring it back.
Bring back the days where kids could get stiffies over Jessica Rabbit. What is wrong with this world?
And that's the clip I'm putting out. All right.
Okay.
Hey, Nate, that's the end. So you've heard 9 songs.
Mm.
It's called 100% Hits.
Yeah.
What percentage hits would you give this compilation so far?
This list 65.
60. That's pretty. That's more than a pass.
That's pretty good.
That's a credit.
It sounded better than it looked when you first sent me the list. I was like, this is grim, but yeah. the listen was a lot more enjoyable than I thought it would be.
I would say the first 5 songs are probably the strongest first 5 we've had in this whole series.
Yeah, we kicked off big.
Then Dad's had to get involved, and then the last two.
The highway came along.
Yeah. Dad's dropped the kids off at soccer, and then he gets to drive home for 2 songs before Ugly Kid Joe comes in.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for doing this, Nath.
That was fun.
Where can people find you?
Coming up, Darwin, please. Doing the Darwin Festival, which is apparently an incredibly fun, crazy couple of weeks.
Well, Darwin's a great city.
Yeah, I do love Darwin. So come see my show in Darwin, please. And Just for Laughs starts in a couple of weeks on Channel 10, the new Just for Laughs series.
Excellent.
Which is a lot of comedians over 10 weeks. That's so long. Do you remember TV? Do you remember Free to Air? It's on that. So if you can find how to put on the station, Channel 10 in a couple of weeks.
Everyone's watching The Hunted. They'll find it.
Oh, it's on my to-do, so I'll be catching up on The Hunted very soon.
Hey, if you're listening to this and you're in Melbourne, I'm doing a Don't You Know Who I Am live at the Belfry, which is in Fitzroy on Brunswick Street there, August 21. So this will be the monthly live show of Don't You Know Who I Am. So go to joshell.com.au, get a ticket. Also, 2 weeks before that, on the 5th of August, I'm doing Good Intentions with Tommy Daslow, our new comedy room that we've got set up. So that'd be great if you could go to that. As always, join the Patreon if you want to help out the podcast, patreon.com/dykwia. This has been lots of fun, Nate. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next
Please,
time.
Please, people donate to the Patreon because Josh pays us $2,000 to do this.
It's too much. My accountant said, why are you doing this?
$2,000. So
I said, that if you want to get the good guests, you've got to pay them.
Thanks, right. Mate.
Thanks, buddy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.